Good morning. Well, this morning I want to get started by telling you I have some really good news and I have some really bad news. And I don't know if you're like me, when I hear stuff like that, it kind of makes me a little bit nervous. But just kind of like the preacher one time, the chairman of the deacons came up to him right before church and said, I got some good news and bad news. So he said, okay, what is it? He said, well, the good news is the personnel committee accepted your job description that you turned in as you wrote it. And he said, well, that is good news. He said, what's the bad news? He said, well, they were so inspired by it, they formed a personnel committee and they're searching for a new pastor to fill that role. So that's kind of news that we don't always look forward to. The other day at work, my boss, he had called me. He told me he had some good news and bad news. And so it just kind of puts you at the edge of your seat wondering what is coming. And I don't know if you're like me, but I like to hear the good news after the bad news. So this morning, I'm going to start off by telling you just a little bit of bad news. And the news is this. We live in a world full of bad news. And that's not new news. That's old news. But the fact of the matter is we live in a world full of bad news. When you turn on the TV, open the newspaper, if any of you still read the newspaper, any of the major headlines, it seems like the news is always interested in telling us what the bad news is, whether it's war or crime or all the different things that are going on in this world. We see that the major headlines are usually bad news. And in our own personal lives, you know, each and every one of us here today, within the last couple of days or week or month, might have received a shot of bad news. And for each and every one of us is different. And so I don't have to go through the list of that. You know what we're going through in this life. So a lot of times when we're faced with this bad news, we ask the question, why? You know, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on in the world? What's the deal? And usually a small question like why really is a big question. And usually with those really, really big questions don't have an easy answer. But I can tell you this morning I have an answer of why. Why is there bad news? Why is there bad things that happen in this world? In order to do that, we have to go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. So in the beginning, God created all things good. We can go back and we learned this as kids. In the first 6 days, he created all things. And whenever he got through each day, he said, and it was good. And that was God's plan. God planned for us to have a good life. He planned for us to live in the garden with him and to have fellowship. And he planned for all these good things. But in chapter 3, we see that something happened. We see that the serpent came to Eve and he tricked her. And a lot of times, I think we read through this story, and we've heard it so many times since we were kids, we kind of leave it as that, as just a childhood story. You know, something that we know about Adam and Eve when we think of the apple that she ate. And we just kind of leave it as that, like it's just this story. But there's so much that came out of that story. It's part of our story. It's part of our history. We really need to understand the consequences of what happened there in the garden. So in chapter 3, we can see the conversation that Eve had with the serpent where he questioned God and said, did God really say not to eat of the fruit? And we know that story. And so we all know this happened. We all know that Eve gave it to her husband and they both ate of the fruit. And then sin entered this world. And that was a part of God's plan. God's plan was that we would have fellowship with him forever and all these good things. But the bad thing was that they did do that. So when God came up to Adam and Eve, and he looked for them, and they were hiding from Adam, and they were hiding from God. Whenever he found out what they did, which he already knew, but he wanted to hear from their own mouth, he had some really bad news for them. And so this is what the news was in chapter 3, verses, we'll start at verse 17. And he said to Adam, because you listened to your wife, the wife's voice, and ate from the tree which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you, and you will eat it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. You will eat the bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust. So right here we see that this is the pronouncement of judgment for Adam and Eve. And there's a list of things that happened. So we look around in our life and we wonder, why are all these things happening? This is the reason why. See, the ground was cursed. No longer was it just produced fruit that man now had to work. He had to produce by the sweat of his brow. And if any of you have a job, which most of us in here do, you understand that with the job comes a lot of times bad news and hard work. And also for the women, really bad news for childbearing. And I know a lot of you have gone through that, but we know that it produces great things. But still, the fact of the matter is that because of this curse, all sin entered the world and all the different things, sicknesses and and cursings and wars and all these things have been produced because of sin, because of the fall of man. And one of the most important things we have to know, too, is one of the biggest physical barriers we now experience is found in chapter 19, where it says this. Whenever he said, until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for you were dust, and you will return to dust. What that basically means is you were created perfect without sin, but now that you are sin, you will face death. That means on this physical earth, you will face death. You will return to the dust which you were created from. But the most important thing is not only that physical death, what causes most of our problems in this world is the separation we have from God. And we see that in verse 24. It says, he drove man out and stationed a cherubim and the flaming, whirling sword east of the Garden of Eden to guard them from the tree of life. So the Bible says that God drove out man. And so now that there was a separation, every day God had visited with man and he had communed and they would hang out and they would have this fellowship and they got to hang out with each other. But now that's not going to be the case anymore. The Bible says that he drove out man. In Isaiah 59 verse 2, it says, your iniquities have built a barrier between you and your God. And so this is the bad news. The bad news is that we are separated from the love of God. And so because of sin, we're no longer in that fellowship. And so as we go through this life and we sit back and we ask the question, why? Why are these things going on? Why does the world seem like it's upside down? Why do these things happen? The answer is sin. Sin is not meant to be a part of our life, but it absolutely is. It's a part of each and every one of our lives. So if you came to church today wanting to hear something good, here it comes. So we know about the bad news. We know that sin entered our life. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, we all know this story. The angel said, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born to you in the city of David. Now, we see here they said good news. So they were pretty excited about this. And so what was the good news? All he says is there is a Savior, a Messiah. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that Jesus came, the Messiah came, to be able to reunite us back with the Father. He said that he no longer wanted to see a world full of the sin with hopelessness. You know, whenever everyone was going through these trials and these tribulations and all the things that were going on, there was hopelessness. You know, the children of Israel had wandered for years and years because they continued to put a barrier between themselves and God. And so Jesus came to remove that barrier. And so for 33 years, Jesus lived on this earth, and for 3.5 years, he was able to disciple his disciples and teach them. And all those things were great. The fact that he had earthly fellowship with his friends, and he taught them, and they hung out, and they spent time together, and that was great all in itself, but that wasn't what he came for. He didn't come to set up a kingdom here on earth and just to hang out with his disciples. He came to do something even greater. He came to defeat sin, and he came to defeat death. And so when Jesus came to the cross, he did that. And whenever he died on the cross, he died for all sins. And we hear that a lot. We hear that he died for all sins and that he rose from the grave. But the fact that he didn't just die for sins, he conquered the effect of sin. And we that have believed and trusted in Jesus, we know that we're going to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, that's one day to come when we die. But we still have victory here on this earth because of what Jesus did on the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 57, it says this. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of the law, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he gives us victory in each and every day of our lives. So whenever we go through these battles and these struggles and we hear this bad news, we don't have to just sell on it as if it is bad news. We understand that Jesus fixed all of it. He fought all our battles for us. And so in our lives, we try to do this on our own. A lot of times we hear bad news, and what's one of the first things we do? We just try to think, how are we going to fix it? What can we do in our own power and in our own strength? What can we do to get things right? A lot of times when we do that, we try to do stuff the right way, but we end up making a mess of it. The fact is that God wants us to use the power and the strength of Jesus and what he did on the cross. Whenever we have issues of unforgiveness, which in my life, you know, there's been times where it's hard to forgive people whenever they do certain things to us. you know, and you think to yourself, you know, they've wronged me, and you just can't see how you could forgive somebody. But when we read Matthew chapter 18, and he talks to Peter about forgiving your brother 70 and 7 times, that's something we're not capable of doing on our own. But with Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and the fact that he was able to forgive those who don't deserve forgiveness, and that peace that he gives us, then we're able to forgive people. Whenever there's fear, each and every one of us in our lives have come through a season where we've had great fear, whether it's through sickness or you know, don't know where we're going to get our next meal or just what's going on in the world. You know, we live in a crazy and wicked world, and we don't know what's going to happen. But the Bible says in John chapter 14 that he gives us peace that passes all understanding. And the fact that we know that he is in control of all things gives us that type of peace. Know that we're not just spinning around in a circle, floating around through the universe out of control. We're very much in control, and God is in control of our lives. Through grief and sorrow, in Isaiah chapter 53, a very familiar passage of Scripture, the Bible says that we're healed of that grief and that sorrow, and we're healed by his stripes. This was a prophecy. This was years before Jesus ever came to this earth. Isaiah knew, God had revealed to him that Jesus was coming, and he would be the answer, that he would be able to come to heal our grief and our sorrow. In Matthew chapter 9, he says that he heals our sickness. He is the great physician. When we're lonely, in Psalm 73, he is our comforter. When we have battles, Revelation chapter 19 says he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. We do not have to fight our battle on our own. I don't know if any of you as kids ever got into a fight, and then one of either your big brother or your cousin come up on the side of you. You had a lot more confidence when you knew you weren't fighting alone. I know that was my case. But the fact of the matter is, we have the Almighty King, Lord of Lords, who has gone out and he promises to fight our battles for us. And one of the biggest fears in this life is death. We talked about it a minute ago. The number one effect of sin is death. You know, from the day we're born until the day we die, we know we're one day closer to our death. And for some people in this room, that could be a very scary proposition to know that one day we will die. But Jesus says not only will he give us eternal life, but in this life, he can give us abundant life. And John 10:10, it talks about that abundant life. And so as we're living in a world filled with this bad news, we can be a light to people and share the good news. And the fact that Jesus loved us enough to come to die and to raise again for people who did not deserve it gives us that hope. And so that's the good news. That's the gospel. And this good news is something that really was an idea that was shared by the disciples. After the resurrection, they would talk about the way and the gospel, and they proudly proclaimed it. It was so powerful, this good news, and it had to be shared. It took somebody who was scared, like Peter, who was scared for his life on the night of the crucifixion, denied Jesus 3 times, and all of a sudden he's in front of people, thousands of people, preaching the gospel boldly. They had brought him to prison and said, "Peter, you have to stop sharing this good news." And he said, "You can do a lot of things to me, but one thing I will not do is stop sharing the good news, because this good news is powerful." You know, each and every one of us in this room have heard of this good news. And what is the good news? Basically, is very simple. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation." And in verse 11, it says, "Now the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. In verse 13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So that is the good news. The good news is that if you call out to Jesus, if you believe him to be Lord of your life, and you promise to live for him and to serve him and trust that God raised him from the dead, then he gives us this victory. He gives us all the benefits that we have that we read about earlier. He gives us the peace. He gives us the assurance. He gives us comfort. He gives us all the tools that we need in this life. And that's the good news, that all we have to do is accept that and trust that and believe that he did it for us, and then we receive that. But what I don't understand is, you know, many people in this room have received this good news. We've heard this and we've trusted it and we've accepted it. And many of us might have even told our wife or our husband and our kids about it. And that's as far as we went with that. we understand that the power that Jesus did on the cross, the victory that he gave, and we have that ability to share it, and yet we don't. You know, we live in one of the freest nations in the world. We read about it in the news about all these other countries who have laws written that they cannot openly assemble in church, and there are people who were murdered for their faith. And yet we live in a world, in a society where it's easy to share our faith, but yet we keep it to ourselves. And I don't understand that. And neither did Paul. Paul, in the book of Timothy, he challenges Timothy in chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2. And this is what Paul tells Timothy. He says, "I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge both the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom, proclaim the message, proclaim the good news, persist in it, whether convenient or not." See, a lot of times we want it when it's convenient. You know, if somebody wants to come up to us and ask us, then we're okay with telling everybody. Or if we're at church, we don't mind teaching a Sunday school class. But whenever it's convenient or not, rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. So this word proclaim, where he says it's several meanings. It's proclaim, it's preach, it's teach. The Greek word is caruso, and this is what it means. To proclaim, to herald, to announce a message publicly and with conviction, refers to preaching the gospel as the authoritative word of God, bringing eternal accountability to all who hear it. To gospelize stresses the victory of God's gospel message in the totality of his good news. I'm going to read it one more time because there is such power in this definition. To announce a message publicly and with conviction. When we share about Jesus, do we share it with conviction? Or is this just somebody we know? Do we totally give our lives? In order to share a message about conviction, that message has to have already changed who we are. People need to look at our lives and see someone who we were and someone who we're now different from. And so we need to do it with conviction. It refers to preaching the gospel as the authoritative word of God. Whenever we read the Bible, I think a lot of times we do it as a check mark. We read through it, and then we don't let this word of God change who we are. This is the authority. This isn't a suggestion. You know, when we go through these seasons of where we hear bad news comes up, and what we do a lot of times, we go to our friends, which is a good thing. But if they're not going back to the word of God to give you the advice to get through this bad time, then we need to go to a different source. And the source is the word of God right here. It is the authoritative word of God, bringing eternal accountability to all who hear it. And this right here is very, very hard to do if you're not living the life that you're supposed to be lived. To bring someone to accountability, to be able to live a life that is in such close connection with God, and God is working in your life, that you're able to recognize when someone's not living the life and to be able to bring them into accountability. And to gospelize stresses the victory of God's gospel message in the totality of his good news. There is such good news in the victory that Jesus has brought. 2,000 years ago was the greatest battle ever fought, and Jesus was victorious. And the fact that he gives us the ability to receive it freely, we need to share that good news. We have to proclaim it. And again, we have to live a life that is deserving to not earn the salvation, but is deserving to be able to share it with somebody. We have to be able to let this life change us. We have to let this victory change who we are. Brother Kurt read it earlier in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. This is from the New Living Translation. It says this: "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Is that your testimony this morning? What does your life mean to you? Is it just the next good thing? Is it planning the next vacation or the next trip? Or are we living from the good moments to the good moments to the good moments with a few shots of bad news in between? Or are we living a life that means nothing to us anymore? Is everything that we do when we wake up in the morning, are we thinking about Jesus and the wonderful work that he's done in our life? Are we thankful for the victory that he has brought? And does our life reflect that? And that's a challenge to each and every one of us. And it's a challenge we should face very seriously. You know, again, we read through the Bible and we hear it taught every Sunday. We hear it in Sunday school and all these things, and we become numb to it. We're so free to read this word, but we need to let it be. We need to let it sharpen our lives and direct us in our past and where we should be. The fact that Paul gave up everything that he knew. The disciples, they left their families, they left their fathers, their mothers, they left their jobs, they left everything. Are we willing to do such things? Are we willing to, is it the good news, is it really that good to us? Have we truly accepted this good news? Because if we believe and we trust in Jesus and what he said he did on the cross, and we're not living in the power of it, it does us no good. That's just like having the biggest bank account in the world and not feeding the hungry with it and not doing for others. What good would that do us? You know, if we have the power to do those things, we would do that. And we have something even better. We have the gift of eternal life that we could share with our friends and our family. We have the gift that we could share with our friends whenever they're going through these tribulations in life, whenever they see the struggles going on, that you can encourage them and tell them that Jesus has won the victory, that, you know, I don't have all the answers in this life. You know, you don't have to go up to somebody when you know they're going through something and say, look, you do this, this, and this. You don't have to do that, but you can be there for them and say, I don't know what we're going to do through this, but I know Jesus does. And we're going to pray for you. And we're going to trust in God that he's going to show us and direct our life. And if we're putting our faith in Jesus to lead us and to guide us, and then we share that good news with our friends, and it becomes contagious. But that conviction that comes with it, it has to be something that's contagious. They need to see something in you that says, you know what, I want what they have. I want something. Man, I saw what they went through the other day. I can't believe, how can they have such strength, and how can they have such faith, and how can they continue to smile? And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't always come with happiness. You know, this the lie of this world, it says, you know, if you're a Christian, all these things, you should be happy. And true, we want to be happy, and there's a lot of things that make us happy in this life, but doing the right thing and sharing the news sometimes doesn't bring always happiness. Sometimes it brings a lot of other things that come along with it. It comes sometimes with bad news. It comes sometimes with the loss of friends, the loss of maybe a job, the loss of lots of different things. So don't always be tricked into thinking that if we're able to do the things that we're talking about here today and we're sharing, that we'll be filled with this happy life and everything's going to go away and everything's going to fall into place. That's not the answer. The fact of the matter is, whenever we go through this life and we face these issues, it's the fact that Jesus fights the battles for us and we don't have to worry about doing it on our own. And so that's the challenge today. Yeah, I know it's a very short message this morning, but the message is simple. We're all faced with bad news each and every day. The world has bad news, and the bad news is sin. And the good news is Jesus came to defeat sin. He came to defeat the effects of sin and give us daily life, abundant life, and eternal life. The challenge is for us to accept that, and then not only to accept that, but once we have accepted that and apply it to our lives, that we share that good news with our friends and with our family.